from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Now back to Overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. First overtime of the year. Might be preseason for the 49ers, but it is regular season for us here on 95.7 The Game, as we got overtime, as we will throughout the 2024 season here on 95.7 The Game. Sterling Bennett, Mark Grandy with you. Shout out to Carter Chickering behind the glass, making us sound good here on 95.7 The Game. Sterling, Niners lose, which I know you're not happy about, but
95.7 The Game, where preseason wins matter.
17-13 was the final in Tennessee. Niners also suffer one major injury in the loss. Ambry Thomas, a broken forearm. We will hear more about that, I'm sure, from Kyle Shanahan this coming week, and we'll keep you updated on 95.7 The Game. But he did confirm it post-game, broken forearm and an indefinite absence. Don't know exactly how long Ambry Thomas is going to be out, and he was not locked to make this roster. So we'll see what Ambry Thomas's future holds as well with the 49ers and beyond. We'll have to wait on that. I know one thing that might also worry Niner fans a little bit coming out of this game, Sterling, and again, we say this all with a grain of salt, because Leonard Floyd did not play. Obviously, Nick Bosa did not play. Your two DTs did not play. Malik Collins, who they acquired this offseason from the Houston Texans, and you hope can be a big run stopper in there. You don't have Eric Armstead anymore. You hope that Collins can kind of fill that role a little bit, and you hope that you get more from Javon Hargrave this season. That's going to be a must for this Niner defense. But the Niners today, Sterling, the defense wasn't necessarily that great at getting to the passer, whoever the passer was for the Tennessee Titans. Kalia Davis, who we talked about as part of that 2022 draft class. Maybe I'm just remembering what he did today. He was the only Niner that had a sack. Not really a lot of pressure on any of the Tennessee quarterbacks tonight. Malik Willis had plenty of time to throw. He even ran past Niner defenders pretty often. Now, he's an athlete. That's not necessarily a crazy thing to see, but the Niners defense did not really make these quarterbacks feel that much pressure throughout this entire game. And again, these are reserve pass rushers that you're going to see come in and out throughout the season, but they're not going to be starters. If they are, you probably got some other issues to get through, but you have to have depth at these spots, Sterling, and it was not necessarily the best display by Niners pass rushers today.
Well, but that's the idea that these guys aren't going to play might not actually be true. Because, yes, Nick Bosa didn't play. Leonard Floyd didn't play. Yetur Gross-Matos didn't play. Well, everyone else did. Robert Beal Jr., who was like a fifth or sixth round pick a couple years ago, he played. And he wasn't good at setting the edge as an edge rusher. That's your job. Set the edge and get to the quarterback no one got to the quarterback outside of Khalil Davis, and the current edge rushers they have, albeit some of them were just signed this past week, they didn't do anything. How many times, if you watched the television broadcast on KTVU, did you hear the broadcaster say, oh, they're not getting any pressure. You got to get to the quarterback. Again, once again, no pressure. They gave the Tennessee quarterbacks, who, by the way, are Will Levis, second-round pick, Mason Rudolph, former Steeler, and Malik Willis, and a scrub who's not making the team. It's like they gave them clean pockets all day. And unfortunately, with Drake Jackson going down, there's a whole lot of unproven pieces that are depth where, yes, Leonard Floyd was brought in because he's durable and he's productive. What, 9.5 sacks the past few years? I think he's never missed a game in 9 seasons straight, right? But what if something happens and Nick Bosa goes down? What if Leonard Floyd misses a couple of weeks? Okay, then you're instantly asking your depth to step up. And unfortunately, you can expect big things from guys like Yetur Gross-Matos. What if he goes down too? It's not like we haven't seen this team get depleted on the defensive line before and have to rely on people like Kerry Hyder Jr. and Hassan Ridgeway. And you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And you can't get to the quarterback. If you can't get to the quarterback, you're not going to win games, no matter how good your linebackers and your cornerbacks are. And my true concern is that San Francisco, well, yes, may have top-of-the-line talent. Nick Bosa, former Defensive Player of the Year, probably top 3 best edge rusher in football. Leonard Floyd, bona fide pro. After that, on the edges, it's a whole lot of maybe ifs, ands, and buts, and I'm sorry, I don't really want to put my faith into that without it being proven and known. Yeah. That scares me.
Yeah, and I mean, last year, it was kind of hard to find the reason why the defense maybe wasn't playing up to the talent that they had. And I think a lot of people, we talked about this earlier, a lot of people kind of just shoveled that off onto the defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks. And maybe that proves to be right. It very well could be. And we'll see if this is a more connected unit next year. And you can kind of sense the connection between the front 7 and the defensive secondary. You hope so. It's got to be better. But you look at specifically the pass rush last year, Sterling. You acquired Chase Young midseason. You had Cleveland Furl, and these aren't superstars, but these are guys who have proven, you know, they can get to the quarterback a little bit. You had some other guys. I mean, Drake Jackson was healthy early in the season, only played ended up playing like 8 games, but did not play major snaps in the vast majority of those 8 games. You had depth pieces that were there that you could use, you know, when you needed to spell Nick Bosa for a snap. And now, you're right, the guys that we're playing today are the guys that you would need to spell Nick Bosa for a snap, Leonard Floyd for a snap, or for a week if that happens. Think back to a couple of years ago. It was when the Niners were in the middle of their consecutive road games on the East Coast trip where they stayed at the Greenbrier. I think they were in Carolina and then in Atlanta, and they won in Carolina, but then Nick Bosa was banged up for the game in Atlanta, and Marcus Mariota, Go Ducks and company, ran all over the Nick Bosa-less Niners in Atlanta, and the Falcons won that game. And that was the Falcons team that Marcus Mariota essentially quit on later in the year. Like, that was a really bad Falcons team. A terrible Falcons team. Go Ducks. Shout out. Go Ducks. Marcus Mariota quit on that team. That team ran all over this Niners team without Nick Bosa. And I know I was talking about the edge rushers that the Niners team had last year, not 2 years ago, but I think the point still holds. If you are playing a drive, a snap, a whole game without Nick Bosa, you have to have somebody else that can fill in. And I know it's just one preseason game, Sterling. Today was not the best, I don't know, showing by a number of these guys that gives you a ton of confidence that the depth is going to be a whole lot better. I mean, this defense wasn't great last year. Bottom line, it was not great for the vast majority of this season. And while you hope that Javon Hargrave is better and you hope that Leonard Floyd is better than any pass rusher you had last year, not named Nick Bosa, and those two things certainly can come true, you might be a little bit worried by the depth at those positions, because tonight, you're right, it wasn't the best showing by that group.
And to clarify, I don't think me or you believe that this Niners defensive line won't get to the quarterback. You have Nick Bosa. You have Leonard Floyd. You add in Malik Collins, who is a healthy, not guaranteed 10 sacks, but he can guy that can get you double-digit sacks. You have Javon Hargrave, who is a much more proven commodity in the NFL. They have four starting defensive tackles and linemen that can get to the quarterback. But behind them, it's, okay, let's see how this works out. You're duct taping things together if one of your guys goes down, which people probably don't want to hear this now because the way the Brandon Ayuk things have kind of progressed and it seems like they've soured. But this team is never afraid to add edge rushers. Last year they added two, Randy Gregory and Chase Young. Now, you can complain about them, fine, and they didn't perform up to standards, hence why neither one of them are here. But I do believe that if the depth on this team, now knowing Drake Jackson is out for the entire season, you're probably not going to see the starters at all during preseason, as you shouldn't. I would not be shocked if San Francisco goes and buys an edge rusher from somebody else. We'll give you a fifth-round pick. We got to find somebody else because if one of our guys goes down, you know, we're sitting here like, hey, you know, the left side's fine. Well, the opposing offense is going to just run right the entire game. You almost are begging for a hole to be created on your defense because the depth really isn't there. But going to the run defense, it's not like it was much better either. Now it's younger players. None of the starters are out there. And I know it's preseason week number one, which is like the one time you should never make a declarative statement and pass judgment ever. But despite all those things, a lot of the issues that plagued the Niners' run defense last year was happening today. And that isn't to say that it's a major concern going forward, but missed tackles, over-pursuing, linebackers being in the wrong place, safeties coming down and whiffing on tackles, cornerbacks taking bad angles, that's things that are taught. That's things that have been a common occurrence for a year, and now it seems like are kind of trickling in to this year, too, and I hope I'm not right. I don't want to be right. I want to be completely hands-off and wrong. Like, you'll eat the crow for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Please, I'll gladly take that. But the run defense was also really bad today. Really, really, really bad. Against Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. Like, those guys are fine. They're not world beaters. You're not running against Derrick Henry and, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Like, man, like, and you hope when the vets come in, they'll pick things up, but you're like, ooh, like, okay, we'll see how this thing works, because if it doesn't, we're going to have a lot of issues, especially when you have to rely on younger players this year, which it seems like San Francisco's going to have to do.
Okay, I think that's a fair concern. I will fire back with something that is not a fair concern, because this is the time to figure things out. Today, the 49ers did not know how to cover the new kickoff.
No. Special teams was terrible.
They also couldn't cover a punt, to be fair, and that's not new. That's the same old punt, and it's always been in the NFL. But the new kickoff rules, if you're unfamiliar and you were watching the Niner game, the first like preseason action you've watched this year, and you were unaware of the new kickoff, you were probably taken aback. The Niners have not quite figured out how to defend that just yet, Sterling. They will. No. Give it time. They will, but it has not happened just yet. That was ugly today.
Yeah, it was. I mean, honestly, on both sides, whether you're receiving it, you have Trent Taylor and Ronnie Bell out there, where Ronnie Bell is the lead blocker for Trent Taylor, and he blocks nobody, and is like, Trent, why are you on the ground? He didn't block anybody, Ronnie. Like, come on. And Trent's like, I'm getting 15 yards an attempt, and I'm right back to the 25 each time. Such a goal. Let the ball go in the end zone. You get to the 30 now. You might as well just there catch it again. It's like, it's honestly to a point where it's like, just put Debo back there. Put somebody else back there that can actually be a playmaker. Maybe it's Cody Schrader, who I think had the best return of the entire day of those guys. But Trent Taylor, Ronnie Bell, then you go to the defensive side. What, the second drive of the game for Tennessee? Not even one play was snapped, and they were in the Niners' red zone. Not one ball was snapped. It was massive kick return, penalty on what? Maybe it was.
It was Womack a sideline infraction.
Yeah, like
it was a 20-yard penalty on a sideline infraction.
I've never heard of that. And they're on the Niners' 15-yard line.
Yeah.
And you're like, and I hate to be negative, but I was like, this is going to happen in a playoff game, and we're going to be up by like 1 point, or we're going to be up by three, and we're going to give the opposing team the ball on our 15-yard line in the NFC title game, and I'm going to sit there and go, how did we let this happen? Like, it's horrifying to watch San Francisco's weakest part of their team, being special teams, get gashed for like the sixth straight season. And now the NFL has made a new rule to allow the opposing team to gash it even further.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're unaware of the new...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Kickoff rule in the NFL. Essentially, the NFL is trying to really force more kickoff returns. But at the same time, they want to reduce the number of injuries that occur on kickoff returns. It's essentially the most dangerous play in the game. So essentially what they're doing is they are telling kickers, you're going to have to kick the ball to make it returnable. If you kick it into the end zone for a touchback, the team is going to get an extra 5 yards. Instead of the 25, they're going to go out to the 30-yard line. So kickers are saying, teams are saying essentially, okay, we're more willing to trust our defense here, our special teams unit, to make a tackle shy of the 30. We're going to kick it shorter, allow the team to return it back, and to limit the injuries that occur on that play. The gunners, the teams, the players trying to tackle the kick returner, they line up at the kick returner's 40-yard line, while all the blockers, aside from one or two returners, line up between the 30 and the 35, and none of those players can move until the ball either touches the ground or one of the returners catch it. So you're limiting the amount of time that these players are sprinting head-on at each other, but you're also encouraging more returns, and the 49ers haven't figured out how to defend it just yet. I think most other teams have, oddly enough. The Niners haven't just yet, but again, as I was saying, that's not a fair concern at this stage. It's preseason game number one. The Niners will figure it out, but something to keep an eye on. Say
we hope. We
say
hope.
Who's the opponent next week, Sterling? Is it the Saints?
Saints.
Say the Saints return a kickoff tomorrow or next week, and then 8 days from now on Sunday on overtime, we can talk about that as a major concern. But I'm not going to go to that length right now. I'm not worried about it. I just knew I needed to bring it up because when I saw it, the Niners' first kickoff of the 2024 preseason, and it went nearly for a house call. I just started laughing because, of course, that would happen to this team.
In my notes, I have here, 63-yard return. Willis over-pursues. Jalen Graham misses the tackle, then chases the man down, gets called for a penalty at 15 yards. They gave them 78 yards. The ball was not snapped. The Titans were in the red zone. And this is the crazy thing. At that time, the Niners had them on third down twice still, which again is, to turn this into a positive note, a testament into how good this defense still was, for as bad as they were, for actually in short yardage stuff in the goal lines, they actually tightened up a lot. I thought Rocky Sin, for as jokingly or for as comedic as it was when they signed him and people said he'll be a real contributor, it was like, yeah, right, he actually played really good tonight. Malik Mustafa made his money in the red zone for the defense. Like, this defensive line tightened up, when things got, again, tight. When you're in the red zone, your back's against the wall, the defense actually did perform pretty well to a point of they had a chance to win this game, for as much as it doesn't matter. They had a chance because the defense tightened things up when it mattered.
Yeah, they did. You talk about the red zone defense. Obviously, the one that stands out is Malik Mustafa's hit on a fourth and one from like the 3 yard line. Didn't allow them to get the first down. Turnover on downs. Huge hit by Mustafa, who was lined up near the back of the end zone and got all the way into that play as quick as a cannon. That was an incredible play. The other one that stands out is on the drive that you're talking about. After the really bad special teams play by the Niners, sets up the Titans in the red zone before they even have a play from scrimmage on that drive. Ultimately, the starting quarterback for the Titans, Will Levis, I think it was a third down. I don't think it was fourth and goal. Yeah, it was third and goal. He scrambles out to the right, looks like he's going to get into the end zone, and coming out of nowhere, D. Winters lights him up short of the goal line. I do not know how Will Levis held on to the football. If I'm the Titans, by the way, on the sideline, I am screaming at my young quarterback, yeah, don't take that hit in the preseason. What the hell are you doing? Throw it away. Get down. Don't fight for the end zone in the preseason. I love your aggressiveness, and I love your fight, but man, you're killing me. You're our starting quarterback. Anyway, that was courtesy of D. Winters. The unfortunate part, and I don't mean to pick on a guy while he's down, is that play ultimately meant nothing because there was a terrible defensive holding by Ambry Thomas on that play. But to your point, there were still some of those positives when the defense was backed up in moments like that, and Malik Mustafa, D. Winters are the two that stand out for me in those kind of moments.
And take D. Winters more specifically. We talked about him having a shot at the linebacker three job. While Fred Warner and Devondre Campbell seemingly had the starting two linebackers jobs seized up, and those are going to be their jobs, D. Winters has really taken a step forward, not just in the offseason, but the last week or so, he's making plays. And today, it was almost kind of how like Azeez Alshire was in his young career, where he was over-pursuing a lot. Missing a lot of tackles. And now he's become, one of the better Mike linebackers, Will linebackers in football. But, he was that third player in that trio of Greenlaw, Warner, and then Alshire. And he was that young, fast, over-pursuant. I was like, I got to beat everywhere all at once, and he was just like, gotta kill, gotta crush wood, whatever I have to do, I want to lay somebody out. D. Winters has that same mentality of, I'm quick, I'm fast, and if I guess right, I'm gonna be there, but just wrap the tackler up. There was a play There was a play earlier in the exact same drive where he's there, very similar. It's third and four, I think it was to the left flat. They have Pollard dead to rights, yep. And you're like, Winters, if you get the stop, they're going to kick a field goal, and this game probably ends 16-13, or whatever it will be, 14-13, whatever it is. And he just whiffs the tackle. And you're like, if you could just make those minor adjustments, those miscalculations you're making, tweak those, tighten those up, you're going to be a darn good player. And you're going to be young. And you don't want to, again, you don't want to overreact here, but Dre Greenlaw's contract is up after this season. There's no promise he's the same player when he comes back. This isn't just come be our linebacker three. This is come be our linebacker two, potentially. This is a big, big ask of D. Winters, but if he can tighten those things up, it's a real role he can kind of etch out for himself in this defense.
Well, yeah, and the Niners will play three linebackers every once in a while. Like, there's spot for a third linebacker to get reps right now. Like, it's happened. The Niners do it. I mean, Oren Burks played some. Like, there's too much, but... It was a little scary at times, but like it happens, and it's going to happen again at some point this year. I can guarantee you that, even after potentially Dre Greenlaw comes back and starts playing later in the season. We don't know exactly when that's going to be. I would still be shocked if it's like the first half of the season. I think the Niners can be a little bit patient there. Obviously, how the season goes maybe encourages them to push it forward a little bit quicker. But you were talking about kind of comparing D. Winters to an Azeez Alshire and kind of that ball of energy, and their hair is on fire, and they're kind of going at everything 110 miles an hour. I mean, that's who Dre Greenlaw was and still kind of is, too. Like, that's the kind of linebacker that Dre Greenlaw is. I mean, when Dre Greenlaw, Sterling, is at his best, and we certainly hope we see that again, when he's at his best, he's the player who you almost have to rein in a little bit, because he's just bound to commit a personal foul, to hit a guy late out of bounds, give another team a big extra 15 yards. And I remember you and I watching the Super Bowl together. Dre Greenlaw was incredible early on.
Yeah.
He was awesome. And now you and I both said a couple of times throughout that first half, he's going to get a personal foul at some point. Like, it's coming. Yep. Like, that's who Dre Greenlaw is. And you live with it because he's Dre freaking Greenlaw. But you're right. It does feel like D. Winters kind of has a little bit of that kind of ball of energy in him, which, generally speaking, you want. You just have to kind of control it a little bit. And I think that's what D. Winters is going to be challenged with early in his career as he tries to get on the field more often. It is to utilize that, but not overutilize it, and control it a little bit more, because ultimately you can't be giving up those kind of penalties or making those kind of mistakes that often and stay on the football field.
If I were to ask you this, you know, stock up, stock down, if you will, you know, where did you walk into this game with D. Winters, and did you leave feeling a heck of a lot more comfortable if he had to start, whether it's linebacker two or linebacker three? Because I would like to hope that Niner fans feel comfortable that, yeah, he's young and he's energetic and he's going to make mistakes, but ultimately, you know, there is a much better player on the end of those mistakes he'll make early.
I think it stuck up for me on D. Winters. I don't know, it wasn't great today. I talked about that one earlier where he over-pursued Tony or on Calvin Ridley, and he allowed him to get an extra 15 yards after catch. That wasn't great. But I think the instincts are there for the most part, and he's physical enough. He's strong enough. He's quick enough. I haven't seen a ton of training camp. I haven't been down there, and you know, you see what gets posted on Twitter and all that, and you read the reports, and a lot of it has been very glowing of D. Winters, but my first time seeing him in live action this go around, aside from last year's preseason and all that and special teams last year, it stuck up for me, no doubt. It's not like I'm saying he should be starting over Devondre Campbell come week number one, not going that far, but no doubt, I think it stuck up for me. Would you agree?
I think it kind of has to be. I mean, there wasn't really room to move down. It was kind of only up, but even then, after reading reports, seeing him live during OTAs and whatnot, and obviously, you know, following everything as we progress through the offseason program, I the way I think the Niners are going to play this thing out is he'll be the linebacker three to begin the year, but I don't think they're going to be hesitant where if Devondre Campbell struggles, they'll say, hey, D. Winters, we'll give you a shot. Don't forget, when Dre Greenlaw went down and Oren Burks started to struggle in the Super Bowl, who played? D. Winters did. D. Winters got reps in the Super Bowl. Now, he didn't perform very well because he was a rookie and shouldn't have been out there.
That's when Travis Kelce started getting going, yeah.
Yes, and you hope he can utilize that and grow from it, and I think he will. And I think ultimately, just like Mustafa and a lot of young players, you know, it's just reps. It's just reps with these guys. That was the whole thing about Trey Lance. So the more reps he gets, well, he didn't get the reps really. And now, yeah, you know, might never get them, but these young guys need reps, and the great thing, unlike Trey Lance, is they have a real opportunity to get those reps this year and right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you brought up Trey Lance, and it's kind of odd. It's kind of odd, Sterling. We were an hour and a half into overtime preseason week number one, and I think our only reference of Niner quarterbacks was at the very beginning when I read off their stats. We do not have quarterback drama. We don't have a quarterback controversy,
Let's
Sterling.
Go.
Now there's controversies elsewhere with this team.
Right.
You know, all pro wide receiver and all pro left tackle, maybe the best player in football. Like, we got some issues there. But Sterling, do you remember what the conversation was a year ago? It was Trey Lance, is your opportunity to shine, man. And then a couple of weeks later, he got traded. Like, that's what the conversation was around this team last year. And we haven't had to talk about the quarterback at all, which I don't know how you feel about that. It is a big sigh of relief for me, and we can talk about that on the other side. We got one more segment left of overtime here on 95.7. Again, you can give us a call, 888-957-9570. It's also the Xfinity Mobile text line. No QB drama, but who's in the lead for QB2 behind Brock Purdy? We can talk about that coming up on the other side. There were two Niner quarterbacks that played today, Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs. We'll get into their battle coming up next. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Grant, Andy with you. 30 minutes of overtime left here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. 30 more minutes of OT after preseason game number one here on 95.7 The Game. The Tennessee Titans beat the San Francisco 49ers by a final score of 17-13. Mark Grandy, Sterling Bennett with you. Sterling, I got one question for you. Where the hell was Tanner Mordecai? Tanner Mordecai? Why didn't he play today, Sterling? I've been waiting for him.
Do you want the honest answer, or do you want the one I'll make up for the radio? I mean, there's a pretty clear-cut reason as to why he didn't play, but from the kindness of my heart, I'll just say there wasn't enough reps.
Okay. Yeah, Niners played two quarterbacks today, Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs. Those two are fighting for QB2 behind Brock Purdy. And honestly, Sterling, I was impressed by both of them. I don't know. Josh Dobbs was pretty good. Honestly, maybe the better performance of the two. I mean, I guess you can make a case for both, but honestly, I thought they both played better than I was expecting them to play. I was pleasantly surprised by their performances.
I walked into this preseason, this offseason, actually, thinking this is probably one of the worst quarterback rooms in the last few years, where you had Jimmy G and you had Trey Lance and you had Brock Purdy. Last year you had Lance and Purdy and Sam Darnold and Brandon Allen. And this year it's like, yeah, Brock Purdy, who is great. Then you have Brandon Allen, who is okay. And then Josh Dobbs has won some games. Don't forget, beat the Dallas Cowboys last year, and then we stomped them a few weeks later, and you know, then went to Minnesota and had a okay run, a little off and on, if you will. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I was shocked, but it was a lot more consistent than I thought it was going to be. There was a portion earlier during training camp and OTAs where Joshua Dobbs was underthrowing deep balls, was throwing picks, and just looked like he didn't really understand the offense just yet, despite having some time in the Shanahan-like offense with O'Connell in Minnesota. But today was, 14 for 19, 100 and almost 50 yards, one rushing touchdown. I think both guys bring some different things to the quarterback position, Josh Dobbs being the bigger-bodied, mobile, kind of athletic quarterback, whereas Brandon Allen is your prototypical backup QB. He's going to stick in the pocket and give what the defense takes him. But even then, like, the stat lines would definitely favor Joshua Dobbs for sure. You know, he had, again, 146 yards compared to Brandon Allen's 98, but Ronnie Bell dropped the deep ball from Brandon Allen, and so did Tay Martin. Like, Brandon Allen, by all intents and purposes, could have been 9 for 13 for 160 yards.
Yep.
Like, he was really good today, and, again, you never want to say if Purdy goes down, we're going to be okay. You know, I have a favorite in the race, but ultimately I think Niner quarterbacks today, compared to last year's start in Vegas, was a lot more consistent. A lot more consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the main takeaway for me, Sterling, it's not necessarily like, I think Brandon Allen has the leg up on the QB2 job, or Josh Dobbs has the leg up on the QB2 job. It's that we're only concerned about who the QB2 is here. And it's such, such a nice feeling, because the last couple of seasons, it's been, I mean, do you remember 2 years ago? 2 years ago was so incredibly awkward, where you're trying to trade Jimmy Garoppolo all offseason. If for whatever reason doesn't get done, you're holding out for more than any team was willing to give, or whatever the case was. And by the way, the teams that were potentially trying to acquire Jimmy, not meeting the Niners' asking price, probably smart. We now know what's happened to Jimmy. Terrible last year with the Raiders, and now as a backup for Matt Stafford and the Rams. That
it's going to make you eat those words this year for sure.
That'll be interesting to see when the time comes. Maybe, I mean, Stafford's probably going to miss a game at some point this year.
Yeah.
I would imagine we get to see Jimmy Garoppolo in the division once again. That was 2 years ago. Jimmy G practicing on a side field, still part of the team, but not really, because you're trying to trade him. And then you get to a point where you agree to a new deal with Jimmy. You're going to start Trey, because kind of politically you have to, because you just drafted him. You gave up all these picks, and you've kind of paved the way for him to be the starter. But then you pick this guy, Brock Purdy, with the last pick of the draft, and you get into camp, and there's kind of this thought in the back of your head like, oh, God, not only is this guy Brock Purdy better than Trey Lance, but he's also better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
But you still have to start Trey. He gets hurt. Then you have to start Jimmy. He gets hurt. And then you start Brock, and the rest is history. But then last year now, Sterling, a year ago, you have Brock coming off of UCL surgery after he tore his UCL in the NFC Championship game loss to the Eagles. You don't have Jimmy Garoppolo anymore, and you're trying to figure out who is going to be ready to start for you week number one, and there was a portion of the fan base who was thinking now that Trey Lance was finally going to have a real opportunity, maybe he was going to be able to start week one if Brock Purdy wasn't healthy, and then he was going to take the job, and the rest is going to be history. And then his first preseason performance, Sterling, you and I were watching it together, it was ugly. He was throwing interceptions on screens, which is like impossible to do. And that was what the topic was a year ago now. And as we sit today, we haven't talked about the quarterbacks until we're an hour and a half in to this overtime post-game show, Sterling. So my main takeaway is just thank goodness that Brock Purdy is healthy and we don't have to deal with all this crazy quarterback drama. Dobbs, Allen, whatever, I don't care who's QB2, because no matter what, if your QB1 gets hurt, you're probably in trouble. You have a QB1, that's all that matters, and I am happy there's no drama around that at this stage for the first time in years.
If I'm hearing you correctly, it almost sounds like you want me to start the Tanner Mordecai train to get him as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, Tanner Mordecai, come on, the rookie from Wisconsin. Come on!
There's legit people that believe Tanner Mordecai can be something, and maybe he can. I think people are a little not hurt, maybe more so trying to find the next Brock Purdy in this whole thing, but ultimately just relishing the fact that you have Brock Purdy to a point where, for the first time in three seasons, we are not talking quarterbacks. We're talking about how much you're going to pay your quarterback, not how much you're going to play your quarterback. And that's great, great to see and hear. Also, it was great to not even see Brock Purdy today. It was really nice to go, okay, he's not going to play at all. Perfect. You want to know why? Because he's probably going to be, if all things play out the way they should, an MVP finalist again.
Mm.
Like, you're in a loaded offense. Like, why couldn't he be? We all talked about when Trey Lance got here, oh, it's the perfect place for a young quarterback. Yeah, it's not a perfect place for Brock Purdy to be a continual near MVP finalist. Now, obviously, you have to play the games. But, yeah, I mean, Do I care who quarterback two is? Deep down, my fandom says yes. But ultimately, like, no, I don't care. In fact, it's even better. They both look pretty good. Because I can say, oh, it's a toss-up. Forget the quarterbacks. Let's talk about receivers and special teams and bad tackling and good blocking by Dominic Pooney. And honestly, the offensive line was pretty good today as a whole. Like, Chris Hubbard and Brandon Parker and Nick Zakel, like, they weren't great, but the depth on the offensive line was relatively strong. And I think dating back to last season, if one guy goes down, it's like, uh-oh, season's over with. And these guys were playing against starters. Tennessee played all of their starters for the majority outside of, what, Jeffrey Simmons? Like, it was their number one unit, and the offensive line held up pretty well to a point where Brandon Allen was billing out of clean pockets and making bad throws. Like, what are you doing, brother? Stick in there. You got a clean pocket. Relish it. Live in this moment for a second. But yes, you are right, Mark. No quarterback talk through one preseason week.
Yeah. No, I am very much here for that. There's plenty of other drama to go around. We don't need the drama around the quarterback position. The Niners, I think, are certainly happy about that. Speaking of the offensive line, I know a question going into this training camp, into this preseason, and as we get ready for the regular season, we don't know exactly what the offensive line starting five is going to be, and obviously there's a major question around Trent Williams. I'm not too worried about that. The deal is going to get done. He's too important. The Niners are not going to penny pinch on him. If you get to the moment where you actually get concerned, you pay Trent what the hell he wants, because he's that important, and he's the best tackle in the NFL despite his advanced age. I think maybe one of the bigger questions, again, maybe other than who's starting at right guard, because there's a chance it might be your rookie Dominic Pooney, but who's the Niners' swing offensive lineman, the swing tackle, the guy who can play a number of different spots if someone does go down, if you need a spot start here or there, if someone misses a drive and you got to throw someone in there? Because what was so nice a couple of years ago, Sterling, although, you know, there were some issues with Mike McGlinchey, and I know he was kind of the center point, the focal point of a lot of Niner fan frustration, not having Colton McKivitz as a starter allowed Colton McKivitz to be your swing guy, and he kind of played all over the place. Now he's your starting right tackle, as he was last year. He'll be your starting right tackle again this season. Who is my main question, I think, about the offensive line, Sterling, is once you get Trent Williams back healthy, that's check mark number one, but beyond that, you got to identify a guy that can fill in a number of different spots, and I'm not so sure who that is just yet. Do you have a read on that? Who do you think might be the Niners' swing tackle guy? Because there will be moments this season where you're going to go onto your bench, and you got to fill a hole for a little bit at least, and that's certainly an area of concern.
I don't even think it's necessarily a swing tackle. It might be a swing guard or center this year.
Maybe.
Well, yes, you would like to have one player be your backup left tackle and right tackle. The way the Niners have kind of played this thing out, it feels like Jalen Moore is the left tackle, and there's a fight between Chris Hubbard and Brandon Parker and even Jarrett Kingston. This year's, what, fifth round pick to be the right tackle. But honestly, the way that Dominic Pooney is playing, it might force a player like John Feliciano to be the backup center and backup right guard, which ultimately makes you stronger, gives you more depth. It makes, you know, it makes your life a lot easier if someone goes down. And if you want to dive in further into it, although he's hurt currently, Spencer Burford, he played tackle in college. I know his body's more built for guard, but it's not as if Kyle Shanahan has looked at someone's body and said, you can only play one offensive line position. Maybe if Feliciano becomes the backup right guard and center, does that make Burford or give him a chance to go play tackle again and also be a guard? The Niners' best starting five in regards to keeping the depth strong behind them is Trent, Aaron Banks, Jake Brendel, Dominic Pooney, Colt McKivitz. Because in Burford and Feliciano become your centers and your right guards, you have one tackle, whether it's Hubbard or Parker or Jalen Moore. You also have Ben Bartsch, who's a left guard and center, and Nick Zakel's a guard and center. Like, all these guys play two or three positions. If you had to ask me who I think wins the starting five job, Dominic Pooney, I think, has this thing kind of on. It is more so a question of who's backing him up, not who's going to replace him as a starter.
That's nice when you do have a rookie that comes in and kind of introduces himself as the starter. You kind of just automatically gain extra depth because you were not going into this offseason probably expecting to start a rookie, and now you feel like you might have to just because that's how good he's been, and you're dealing with some other issues, like Spencer Burford's broken hand, for instance. But you start a rookie, and suddenly your guys who were starters for you kind of off and on and split time last year, suddenly those are guys that can now come off the bench, and suddenly your depth at that position looks a whole lot better. So that would be positive development for the 49ers. One of the other main questions, Sterling, about the offense in specific, it is the wide receiver group. And I'm not talking really about Brandon Ayuk's hold in and his contract extension and all of that. And obviously there's so much drama about that, and that's been talked out here on 95.7 The Game. We don't need to talk about that specifically, but you have a number of wide receivers in camp, and breaking news, you're not going to keep all of them. What, the Niners might
really?
Keep, they might keep what, like six wide receivers? Something?
Usually they have five rostered, and that's six guys, the practice squad elevation. Last year it was Conley and Willie Snead. That's kind of what you're looking at?
So, I mean, okay, obviously, there's a question around Brandon Ayuk. Let's just pretend for a second that Brandon Ayuk gets the deal done or whatever, plays on the fifth-year option, which I think is unlikely, more likely to get a deal done. So say Ayuk is here and he's available and he's on the roster week one. You have locks with Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Brandon Ayuk, and Ricky Pearsall, right? You have four locks. And you're probably, you're rostering at least one more. You're maybe rostering two more. That means you've got players like Jacob Cowling, Trent Taylor, Ronnie Bell, Danny Gray, Chris Conley, Frank Darby, Tay Martin. Those guys are all fighting for like two more spots, Sterling. Like, this is going to be a fight till the death for these teams, for these players, in terms of getting on that roster when week one comes around. And as you talked about earlier, I mean, of that group, the guy that maybe looked the best, we didn't see Jacob Cowling. He did not play. Rookie out of Arizona. He's an exciting player. But of the group that played today, Sterling, which includes Trent Taylor and Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley and Frank Darby and Tay Martin, I mean, Chris Conley looked pretty darn good, right? Like, Chris Conley, he might have a leg up on everybody else in this mix, which is unfortunate because that group includes a couple of recent draft picks in Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray.
Despite the Niners having about 13 receivers currently rostered, it honestly might be the most straightforward positional battle they have, where you're not going to cut, again, Deebo, Ayuk, Jennings, and Pearsall. Those guys are locks. You're not going to cut a fourth-round pick from this past year's draft. You want him to be on the team. You don't want someone else to have a chance to claim him off waivers who wanted to draft him this past offseason. And then you have Chris Conley, who is, I think, head and shoulders above people like Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray, who, in Ronnie Bell's case, could likely be a practice squad player again, could be a practice squad elevation if someone happens to go down. And, you know, Ronnie Bell's strong suit isn't a kick returner. It's not a punt returner. He doesn't have the explosiveness to be that player, whereas Cowling does. And, again, he didn't play today, but then you add in Trent Taylor, who is just a basket catching a ball. He has no ball skills. He can't do anything. And I like Trent. He fits in with the team. He's just a basket. They just put him back there. It's like, what is this? Yeah,
there was a play today. He had a rush. It might have been his rush. He ran for 21 yards. It was around the right side, right?
Yeah.
So I think it was his run, and it was down near the goal line, and it looked like for a moment he was going to get into the end zone. And generally speaking, you get a wide receiver with a head of steam like that, running like 20 yards down the field with momentum. It's when you see, like, you know, a juke, or if you're Ayuk, you jump over the top of the defensive back, right? Like, that's when you see the special athletes making special plays. And Trent Taylor. It looked like he was trying to do like a juke move, like put his right foot into the dirt and then cut left, right?
Right.
But it looked like he just put on the brakes. He just like tried to stop, and the defensive back was just like, okay, I'll just tackle you then.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was trying to put on a move or if he was protecting himself or whatever, but Carter and I watching the game here at the studio, watching Trent Taylor run down the sideline, we're thinking, oh my God, it's going to be a touchdown. Trent Taylor touchdown. And then he's just
make a name for yourself.
And then he's just got no movement. He's got no jiggle. He's got no sweet moves down near the goal line. It was funny to watch. Nothing against Trent Taylor, but he's just not one of those those kind of athletes that can make a guy miss in space, which I think is exactly what you're talking about.
He's like that child that's like, Mom, Dad, look what I can do. And they're just jumping in place. It's like, it's not impressive. Everyone can do that. Everybody can run straight and stop, albeit at different speeds and whatnot. But you're right. Which it's also why I think players like Pearsall and Jennings and obviously Debo and Ayuk and even Jacob Cowan make more sense to make the roster because yeah. Cowan with the ball in his hand is explosive. He's tough to bring down despite his 5'9 stature. Whereas Trent Taylor, again, is just this... You hate to say vanilla player, but he's past his prime. He's in his late 20s. He's all vibes. He is the Gerardo Parra of the NFL.
Oh,
he's coming
God.
In, baby. He's coming in, baby, sharking it up, and you're like, yeah, this is great. We're feeling good, but ultimately, what do you actually do for us? Nothing.
That's kind of
like
that's kind of disrespectful to Gerardo Parra. He was a great major leaguer for a couple of years.
He was a great Giant for 2 weeks. Shout out Connor Joe, right?
He was a terrible Giant, but he was a good major leaguer.
I mean, if you want to cut deeper, shout out Michael Reed, brother.
Michael Reed. Oh, God, what year
Trent
was that?
Taylor's the Michael Reed of the NFL.
2019 season or whatever that was when Connor Joe and Michael Reed started.
Man.
Oh, God.
But, shout out Farhan.
Yeah, shout out Farhan. Maybe the wide receiver room is as simple as you make it out to be. I've been hearing so much about, oh, the battle. You've got like 12 receivers in camp. This is going to be a crazy battle. But, I mean, everything that you're saying makes a lot of sense. And seeing what I saw today, I think it makes sense. Now, you're going to have to see Jacob Cowing. You're right. You definitely do not want to cut a fourth-round pick that you made just a couple of years ago, but let's also not pretend like that's something the Niners haven't done in the past. They have cut draft picks the year that they've made those draft picks, or they've held on to draft picks that they should have cut. I mean, just last year...
Shout out Trey
Sermon. Yeah, Trey Sermon. Just last year, Sterling, if it wasn't for Cam Latu getting hurt and being eligible to go on season-ending IR, he might have been cut. Like, this happened literally a season ago. Cam Latu, by the way, back healthy. He played today.
Should be cut now.
Nothing special. 2 catches, 12 yards. Nothing special. But, like, I know what you're saying. You're not going to cut a fourth-round pick the year you make that pick. But this is the Niners that we're talking about. And they've kind of made a name for either making the best pick in the history of picks or maybe the worst pick in the history of picks. It's just kind of what they do.
Yeah. And it kind of puts you in this awkward place where you're like, if that young player in year one doesn't perform well, do you think they'll cut them? I mean, they might. They've done it before. But ultimately, especially like wide receivers, it's like, okay, like you're not going to cut Cowing because you don't have anybody else that can do what he does for depth. Whereas I think of, and I don't think they'll cut this player, but going back to running back for a second, I mean, you have obviously McCaffrey and Mitchell and Jordan Mason, and you have Cody Schrader, a UDFA out of Missouri, and you just signed Matt Breida, who fumbled today, which,
ooh,
don't
Matt
change,
Breida.
Matt. Don't change. Don't forget, Matt Breida was the guy that was starting in 2019 when they were on their way to the Super Bowl, fumbled against Atlanta, didn't see a single snap the rest of the year. So welcome back, buddy. Let's see what you got. But Isaac Rendo's still out there. Hamstring injury, hasn't played. I think ultimately, when Garendo and Cowan get healthy, whenever they do get healthy, you are going to see less and less of Ronnie Bell and Trent Taylor because those guys fit the mold of the return game that has now become this new kind of specialized play in the NFL, hoping to get more offense. So you're going to see the less explosive guys kind of warded out of the roster. And they're going to be practice squad players or outright cut because, well, those guys don't really do much in the NFL anymore. And fingers crossed Danny Gray can have a come-to-Jesus moment and figure things out because he's still got some speed. He's still got some speed somewhere. Just figure it out, Danny.
Danny Gray is going to go down. Let's see. He was the third-round pick in 2022, that draft we were talking about earlier. Danny Gray's seminal moment was catching that go ball from Trey Lance in the preseason. You remember that?
Yeah, that was against the Packers.
I think so. That's Danny Gray's moment. And this might be the end of Danny Gray as a 49er this preseason. It very well could be. If that's the case, it's not quite on this guy's level, but Danny Gray might go down as he might go in the Jalen Hurd category of known for preseason greatness, but that's just about it. Jalen Hurd was because of injuries, and he couldn't catch a break there. But every preseason, Jalen Hurd would
break. He broke his back. He couldn't walk. He couldn't even take the plane to the Super Bowl because he couldn't sit for 6 hours to Miami.
But he dominated preseason, Sterling.
Hey, Dallas in the preseason, I don't forget that. That's in my brain forever.
Yeah, I remember it. He just would post up defensive backs and dunk on them in the end zone.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and this goes into kind of tampering down the preseason hype. I was going through my Instagram a couple days ago, and I was reading back to, like, 2019. I looked at what Peter King said, and I love Peter King. He was a friend of the station for a long time, now retired. All due respect, Peter. We'll have our bad takes, including myself.
Uh-oh.
He said, after that game, you have just watched the upcoming Offensive Rookie of the Year. Shanahan's going to unleash him on the NFL. And everyone was like, yes, yes. And it was like, oh, my goodness, he didn't play another snap.
Oh, God. Yeah.
The preseason means nothing, folks. Jalen Don't buy Hurd. Into the hype ever.
Jalen Hurd. By the way, we have like a couple of minutes left just running through the final other position on the offense. Tight end. I know I just mentioned Cam Lotu as the guy the Niners were thinking about cutting a year ago if he wasn't eligible to go on season-ending IR. It's not necessarily the most encouraging sign, Sterling, that their two tight end picks from last year, Braden Willis and Cam Lotu, are basically locked out of even the tight end two spot at this point. That's going to go to Eric Saubert, most likely, a veteran who's kind of been around for a while, who they signed this offseason. He's likely tight end two behind George Kittle this offseason, this season, which is probably not what the Niners were hoping for, considering they drafted not one but two tight ends a year ago.
Hence why during the draft, me and you were talking, give me Tip Ryman, give me a Ben Sinnott, give me something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was before the Saubert signing and before they just cut Logan Thomas because of a hamstring injury. Yeah. But you're right. It does feel like it is George Kittle and Eric Saubert's, you know, 1-2 job. And then behind that is, I think it's Braden Willis, and then under him is a very large gap, and that's where you have players like Cam Lotu and your Jake Tongues and your Mason Plines. So you're like, I guess there can be something someday, just not today. And you know that's great and all, but you know, the tight end position might be one of the weakest on the roster, despite having one of the best at the top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I guess we got to do our game balls. I didn't even think about this until this second, Sterling. We did it all last year. We got 1 minute left here on the show. Let's go quick. Game balls, I'll let you go first. Let's give out one for offense, one for defense each. Start with the offense. Who's getting your game ball?
Well, I'm probably going to steal yours. I'm going to say it's Jordan Mason. Six carries, 34 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, one touchdown. Dominic Pooney pushes him in the end zone, kind of highlighting the young players on this team. So I'll give it to Jordan Mason. Yeah, I think he rightfully deserved offensive game ball.
Yeah, that's who I was going to go for, too. I'll go Joshua Dobbs, though, pulling out the John Elway helicopter play to get into the end zone, putting his body on the line. He was good in the second half, couldn't quite lead the comeback, but Josh Dobbs gets my game ball from the offense. What about you on the defense, Sterling?
On defense, honestly, I think it's got to be the highlight play of the day, Malik Mustafa. Yeah, it wasn't a perfect day. Yes, he bit on some play action he shouldn't have. In fact, kind of got bailed out by a tight end not getting both feet in bounds, which was like, what are you doing, brother? You got to make your catch and get your feet in. This is the NFL. But Malik Mustafa, the play of the game, Titans at the goal line, about to punch, didn't score a touchdown. He says, no, no, no. And this rocks the ball carrier, pushes him back. Shanahan now seemingly wants to challenge plays in the first quarter. Shout out Philadelphia at the link a handful of years ago. Yeah. Throws a challenge flag. They get it reversed, and the ball goes in San Francisco's hands. And that was like, yes, young star player, or hopefully star player, making an amazing play.
Yeah, good pick. I was going to pick Mustafa as well. I'll go Kalia Davis, only sack of the day, had another tackle for loss as well. Hopefully he can continue that because the Niners, they need their depth at that position on the D-line. Kalia Davis gets my game ball, the only sack of the day for the Niners defense. And Sterling, that will wrap it up. It's been awesome to be back with you here on Overtime. We got 8 days until the next Niner preseason game against the New Orleans Saints. That's on the 18th on Sunday. Looking forward to that already. Sterling, great hanging out with you tonight, and we'll talk to you next time.
I might be in Southern California, brother. My heart's still in San Francisco.
Yes,
shout out Tony Bennett. No relation. But let's do it again, man. Let's do it again. Let's make it all the way this year. And let's end it on a high note.
Yes, I'm with
not
you.
Not us screaming into mics for 3 hours.
Yeah, crying, dealing, trying to hold back tears while we're on the radio. Yeah, let's avoid that at all costs. All right, Sterling, I'll talk to you next weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Carter Chickering behind the glass, my name is Mark Randy, signing off. Niners fall preseason week one. We're back in 8 days for preseason week number two. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.